So John
is a funny kind of fellow here. First of all, in the last two chapters, he's been kind of coming down hard on everybody and talking about whether or not you hate your brother and hypocrisy and all these things about, hey, you guys, you got to clean up your act a little bit, right? He's even been talking about how we are completely purified by Jesus, but yet we sin. We already talked about that paradox of how can that be, because Jesus is already, he's made us holy. I keep coming back to that, that he's made us holy. We are purified. I love that, that we are purified by Jesus for every sin, past, present, and future, but yet we are also responsible. So John says, you know, it's both ways. You got to have it both ways on this one. You got to still be responsible. As we talk about men have to be responsible in this world for their actions. Because with our actions comes consequences, does it not? And so you will pay the consequences for your actions. That doesn't mean you're not accepted by the Father. You are accepted by the Father through the Son. So John's been kind of like telling him all these things. They've been talking about how God is light. I love that. I love that God is light. And there is no darkness in God because he is light. He is light. Amazing. I just saw a picture from the Webb telescope that was online. Like I said, I don't watch things. When things pop up, I look at them. And they showed a nebula near the Orion Nebula that they've never seen before. And it's this birthplace of stars. And there's all these colors and all these swirls and all these gases and all these stars. It's a nursery of stars forming. It is beautiful. And it's God creating once again. So John switches here, and he wants to give a little bit of an encouragement. So I kind of like that Kasseri went to see last night, and he did the seven psalms, this dream he had, and he wrote it all down, and he did these beautiful songs, amazing presentation, at 83 years of age, still searching for God. And we still pray that Paul Simon finds what he's searching for, the one true God. But it was kind of like a poem. And so that's what John does right now. He goes over into a poem. Here's the poem. First John chapter 2, verses 12 through 14. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Isn't that a beautiful poem?
Yes.
Isn't that an encouragement? Isn't that the truth? First of all, he says, I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. His name is Jesus. Because of Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. What a beautiful poem. We could just stop right there. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. We know the Lord. Do you see how everything is in the present tense here? There's no question. We know the Lord. Our sins are forgiven. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. Present tense. You have. It's a done deal. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. Children need to know their fathers. When we have an epidemic in this country and in this world of children who do not know their fathers, of fathers who are absent from their children, and it causes devastating consequences. And when we don't know our Father, it causes devastating eternal consequences. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Now, this isn't just a male thing either, by the way. This is all the children, male and female. It could just as well say sisters here, or brothers and sisters, or men and women, because he's talking to everyone. He's encouraging everyone. But he also has a warning. And here's the warning. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. The world. Is the world a bad place? Is the world an evil place? Should we beware of the world? Is that what he's talking about here? Is that what John is trying to tell us? And I see heads shaking. No, you're correct. No, the world, God said it was good. I've made the world. I spent 6 days doing it. It is good. It is good. So what is John talking about? World can be taken in a lot of different ways. We can think of world as this earth. We have Earth Day, and we look out for our planet, and we got global warming. We need to watch out for this, because if we don't take care of this planet, we're in big trouble. We're in big trouble with climates, and we're in big trouble with all kinds of stuff. So we need to care. We need to nurture this world. People who are gardeners, who plant, who bring up a seed and watch it sprout into a plant which we get food from, know what I'm talking about. I had some friends in my old church, man, they were farmers, and they would till that land. My grandparents up in Canada, they were farmers. They would till that land. They would care for that land. They would get the harvest from that land. They would feed the animals from that land. They knew to respect the land. So the world could be the land, but it can also be all the people. All the people across this globe, in all the countries, every single person. There's a poem that Mary has that is about, I need every soul. I need every person on this planet to be complete, because we are all part of God's existence. There's not one wasted. We talked about purpose earlier. Not one wasted. God has a purpose for every one of us. Part of our job is to find our purpose, is it not? And we can spend our entire lives looking for our purpose. And most of the time, it's right here in front of us. It's simple. God created us as his children to have relationship with us. That's our first purpose. What he's talking about even in this the first poem is all about priorities. It's about putting God first. It's not that the world is bad, it's that the world cannot come before God. Look what it says. Do not love the world or anything in the world. Do not love the world. The world isn't, you don't love this ground. You don't love this planet. It's a planet. It's a creation. It's not the creator. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. In other words, if you put the world first, if you put other people first, if you put anything in front of God, you're taking a misstep, right? For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, The lust of the eyes, that's a strong word, lust. And the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Well, how does that work? How does that not come from God? Because it's the opposite of God. It's that light and darkness thing, okay? Because the lust is not, God gives us desires. He gives us beauty. He gives us peace. Lust doesn't have anything to do with peace. And it's taking desires and taking them whacked out to the point it's all about us and whatever we can get, our cravings. There's another version that says it is about our cravings. You ever have a craving? Ever have a craving for like chocolate ice cream? Love it, right? Right? Nothing wrong with chocolate ice cream. Nobody can go against that. But if you eat a whole gallon, we might have a little bit of a problem. We might have a sugar issue going on here when we go see our doctor and he says, hey, you know, your numbers are really whacked out here. Because what happened? It wasn't the chocolate. It wasn't the ice cream that was the problem. It was the gallon. And it was a gallon for 7 days in a row. I mean, so we can take our cravings and just continually try to satisfy whatever our cravings are, and we know where that's going to go. It's not going to be good. Our bodies are not going to be able to take it after a while. Or we cannot exercise and not do anything, and then our bodies start talking. They start talking back, don't they? They start having a conversation, and it's not a good conversation. See, God knows this already. He knows that what we need is Him and His light and His wisdom. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. Also, the other thing that happens here is when we get involved in whatever we want, we're not very involved with anything anybody else wants. It's all about me. And if there's anything about Jesus that we know for sure, He was selfless. And when we are selfish, it doesn't go well either. And isn't it like, you know, you had that gallon, man, and wow, that was wonderful at the time, and now I feel sick as a dog. My stomach is grumbling now. I haven't had any protein. I haven't had any dinner. I just had my gallon of ice cream. And all of a sudden, my whole body's talking back to me. And if I did it for a week straight, it would really be talking back to me. Because God knows He's made us this way. That He's given us good desires. He's given us the good earth. He's given us everything we need. But, I mean, it's really the truth that you need things in moderation, isn't it? If you overdo anything, and then after you do it for a while, you do it, you overdo it, it's not even fun anymore. I think that's what's born of addictions. And after a while, addictions are, I mean, the drinking or whatever else it is, it's not even fun anymore. It wasn't that much fun to begin with. It was kind of a delusion in the first place. It's kind of an escape from reality. And finally, the world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. So that begs the question, doesn't it? The age-old question. The question I don't have an answer for you. What is the will of God? Why is it we struggle with this so much? You know, if you want to know anything, what is the best way to find it out? I'll go to my astronomy for a minute, okay? And I'm working with my telescope, and it can be a very complicated instrument, let me tell you. And there's mirrors, and they all have to be aligned in the proper way. And if they're not, everything looks all distorted. And they have to be like within a millionth of an inch. And so if I'm getting all messed up, and I've done this, I've gotten that thing so screwed up it doesn't see anything. But I got it from this guy, and I'm giving you a clue here. I got it from this guy in Virginia. So if my mirrors are all messed up, and I got it all screwed up, and when I got it, it was perfect, what do you think I should do?
Fix it.
How do I don't know how to fix it. How do I fix it?
Talk to the guy who got it. got it from.
Talk to the guy I got it from. Why? Because he knew what he was doing in the first place. He got it aligned in the first place. So the first thing I need to do, if I don't know something, I need to ask. And if I want to know what God's purpose is for my life, I need to ask. We skip that step all the time. We go to prayer to God and we tell God, okay, we actually give him the plan. Like, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this job, I'm going to move to this other state, and then we're going to get this other thing going on, and okay, God, are you following? Are you writing this down? But what I should be doing is saying, hey, Lord, I have a job offer in this other state. I have this opportunity. Should I take it? Or better yet, not should I take it, because that's a yes or no answer. Lord, show me. Show me what I should do. We should be saying, show me every day of our lives, or our entire lives. We should be asking God, because if we do that, then we will do the will of God. I told you, God's not complicated. He makes it really simple. We make it complicated. All we need to do is ask him. And watch what happens. The world and its desires pass away. Praise be to God that the world and its desires would pass away. We need some of that stuff to go away. Social media, they need to shut that thing down cold. They need to get rid of that. And all these advertisements, everything else that just entice us, and all these people that give us bad ideas. We need to shut all this. That's the world. And there's a lot of bad influences in this world. The world and its desires pass away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. It doesn't get any better. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we ask to do your will. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done in my life as you see fit. May your will be done with my interactions with other people as you would have me act with other people. May your will be done with my relationship with you, my relationship with the Lord, my relationship with Jesus, my relationship with the Holy Spirit, and my relationship with each and every individual on this planet. May your will be done with each and every one of your children as they come home to their Father. This we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen.